Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We now go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We bring on, he is one of our favorite Tribe Scribes. He's one of my favorite people to talk to. He is Zach Meisel. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's going on? Happy Sunday morning.
Happy Sunday morning. It's been a hot minute. This is nice. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, I mean, we're getting close. I mean, we're already 2 weeks away from spring training, so we can make this a regular thing again.
I'm so in. I'm so ready for that to happen. All right, so let's start with the mess, and we'll find our way into actual on-the-field baseball. So, Paul Dolan, Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, gave a speech, came off not great. You were in the room. What was it like in the room?
I mean, there were two points when there was a group of reporters kind of huddled together listening in, and we all kind of looked at each other with our jaws trending toward the floor, I guess you could say. Look, I mean, he was playing to his audience. He was poking fun at himself at points. It's all fine in a vacuum. It's just awkward, and you have to know it's not going to play well publicly. And this was being streamed live, and you know there were plenty of reporters in the room who were going to report on everything that happened, so you know it's going to be made public. And when the payroll is what it is, and I'm sure you're sick of talking payroll too, and we've been talking about it for years now, but when you have a team that's good and the fan base knows it's good and you've been close, you've had a taste of it, and you can look at the roster and be excited about the potential but also frustrated that there are a couple of glaring holes that could be fixed with snap of a finger, and the payroll is sitting $30 million lower than what it was on opening day last year, if the owner is getting up and, you know, doing a comedy routine or saying things that might not go over well publicly, it's just going to come off poorly and just awkwardly. And I think that's what happened here. And I think, you know, it was a tough place for the Indians, period, because, just him getting the award, I mean, you know what all the reaction is going to be. You know what people are going to tweet and say on the radio. And, if you think about the award in itself, the Lifetime Achievement Award, if you really know all the philanthropy they do and what they've done in the community, I think you understand the award. It's just the timing is just so awkward. If it was 2 years ago when the team was riding high and everyone thought, you know, you're in the middle of this window of contention and the payroll was sufficient and you couldn't blame the Dolans for not opening the checkbook even more to add pieces, then fine. But it's just the timing of this right now it made anything he said was going to get skewered, and it did.
And that's the big thing, is I've got my Dolan issues as well, and I've made those incredibly public. But the one thing that I want to make sure we hammer home, and I'll say it with you as well, and I said it the last segment, and I will continue to hammer it home. They do so much for the community. They do so much to grow baseball in Cleveland. They do so much in philanthropy that we don't talk about and don't know about, and this award is for the Dolan family. It is not for Paul Dolan. It is for the entire family and what they are able to do to help baseball grow in this area. And I will forever hammer that home, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted earlier in the week that I thought Fred McLeod deserved this award. And I know these things are planned months in advance. That doesn't mean you can't switch something around. But it wasn't a slight at Dolan's or the Indians. It was more just the timing of it and how things are going to be perceived. And look, it's the Cleveland Sports Awards. It's a really great event. It raises a ton of money, and it's all great. But in the end, like most years, and I think Andy Baskin said this the other day, it's like, do you even remember who won these awards?
Yep.
In past years, stuff like that. But to me, again, it was just – the chance that he says something that then doesn't play well because of the situation the team is in made it a little bit awkward for me, and made the timing choosing now this year made it awkward. I mean, it all relates back to baseball. It's the most unfortunate thing about this offseason is that you can't talk about almost anything on the Indians roster, even if you're excited about something, without relating it back to the payroll somehow. It's like Francisco Lindor could win the MVP, and it's like, well, but you know, you tried to trade him because you're trying to, you know, you can't re-sign him. Or it's like Oscar Mercado, I'm excited to see what he can do in year two, but also he's like the only sure thing in the outfield, and he's not even really a sure thing. So it's frustrating, and it all kind of ties together, and just made the other night, you know, when he made a couple jokes or made some statements that in the room they went over okay, but publicly they're not going to, and that's something the Indians or Paul Dolan probably should have thought a bit harder about before he made that speech.
All right, let's talk about real on the field baseball. Let's talk about guys actually catching balls and doing all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if I've even talked to you since the Kluber trade. I don't even think we've talked about this. So we'll start there. Emmanuel Class A, Delino DeShields Jr. finding their way over here for Corey Kluber down to the Texas Rangers. What do you think of the move, and what do you think of Class A in this bullpen?
It relates back to ownership again, though. That's the thing.
All right, so I'll fight you on that one. And the only reason I say it is Corey Kluber, It seemed like velocity-wise and stuff-wise was starting to head in a direction that I don't know if I don't know if the Indians were willing to do with. And so I was actually okay with them making this move.
I'm okay with it. The alternative, though, is that if you believe he has anything left, or because, I mean, look, Class A could be good. He throws 101 miles an hour. That's enough for me to be super intrigued by him. But you could have let him build up his value and then traded him and gotten more for him. And there's risk involved. Maybe he is completely done. He doesn't seem to think so. Obviously, the Rangers don't seem to think so. But it's the fact that they felt they had to clear that salary now, and they had to trade him now, and they had to take whatever the best offer was that they could get for him now, even if it didn't quite meet their standards. That relates back to ownership, is that they don't have margin for error. They can't take any financial risk. And that makes everything really tough. It makes it so the front office cannot miss on anything they do. And when they do miss, like they missed on a couple things last offseason, it comes back to bite them. So the trade itself, look, Class A and Karinchak and Brad Hand, there's a lot of ifs there. But if the two young guys can avoid some growing pains, and if Brad Hand doesn't suffer from narcolepsy or whatever was ruining his arm in the second half last season, that trio could be as good as any back-end bullpen trio in baseball. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about with that. I actually think I think the opening day bullpen is going to be kind of weird. I think later in the season they have a bunch of young kids at Double A and Triple A who have a lot of potential. I think the bullpen could be fantastic. Class A certainly helps that. And they definitely, I mean, the counterpoint to my original argument about Kluber, it's not like they need starting pitching. You know, they can live without Kluber. It's just they didn't really maximize his value. If they could have kept him for a few months, let him pitch, let him prove he still has something left, who knows what they could have gotten. You know, maybe you could have gotten that outfield bat that you sorely needed. But they made the trade now, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, Klossy's, I think, 21 years old, so hopefully he doesn't have too many growing pains ahead of him.
Yeah. I mean, he made his major league debut last season. He did, you know, he did okay. He's kind of effectively wild, and we'll see where it goes from there. I'm intrigued, though, man. This, you know, the bullpen did it last year with smoke and mirrors, and now it seems like they're actually going to do it with fire, which is going to be a lot of fun. Zach Meisel joining us. Of course, you can always get his book, 100 Things a Cleveland Indians Fan Should Do Before They Die. That's a must. You must own that book. And, of course, the A to Z podcast as well. All right, Zach, are they bringing in an outfield bat? Or is Yasiel Puig coming back, or are we just holding our breath and hoping for the best?
Yeah, I think money's the thing there. I don't think the Indians want to give too big of a commitment. I think they're open to the idea. I don't know that they're sold on him being a substantial upgrade. He was fine last year. Like, he was solid. His power disappeared when he came to Cleveland, which was odd. But, you know, that just, I know there were reports out of Miami that he was looking for, like, multiple years at $15 million a year. The Indians aren't going to do that. But if they could get him on a one-year deal or get him, I don't know, maybe 1 year with a club option for a reasonable price, I could see it happening. He's, if they don't go for Nick Castellanos, Puig's the only other outfielder in free agency who's worth a darn, really. They could make a trade, too. I know that's one thing that they've thought quite a bit about all offseason, because they prefer to get a younger guy who's controllable for multiple years. They do. They have Daniel Johnson at AAA, who he'll join the big league roster at some point in 2020, I would think. But they don't really have, like, after that, their next major league caliber outfield prospect is George Valera, who's, you know, in high A right now. So it's like they could use someone who can play for them for multiple years. It's not like they need just like a stopgap. So, but the issue is they need an everyday guy because they have plenty of platoon options out there. But if you think about the different ways they could go, and they could have, you know, Luplo and Bowers and Daniel Johnson and Oscar Mercado will be in center field. You'd think Delino DeShields is there, and Greg Allen, and maybe Framil Reyes in right field. It's like, how do you sort through all of that in spring training and figure out what your best alignment is? And then, you know, if Framil Reyes is playing the outfield, then you need a designated hitter. Does Bobby Bradley get a chance? It's like, there's so many different ways they could go. I'm not really sure which are better than the others. This would be a lot simpler if they just added an everyday outfielder, whether it's trade, whether it's Puig. It at least solves one of your issues.
I'm with you there, Zach. They need one more bat. They really do. They just need one more bat in that outfield, solve one of these positions, and we can just go from there. And I'm with you there. Thank you, brother. I appreciate the time, as always. We will catch up more down the road, because the minute spring training starts, I'm going to be pestering you like no other for Franmil Reyes, can he play left field questions. I'm just telling you now.
He's been at their complex like every day over the offseason, so I'd hope so, or else I don't know what this winter's been about.
Okay, good. You good. See, that makes me happy. That makes me so happy, Zach.
Well, that's why I'm here. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it as always.
You got it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you. He is Zach Meisel. You can read him all over the place. You catch him on Twitter at Zach Meisel. And, of course, 100 things to know and do, or 100 things a Cleveland Indians fan should know and do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.